Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, Meatable, the cultivated meat startup from the Netherlands, recently closed $47 million US dollars in its Series A funding round, bringing the total of the company's funding to $60 million. The company's finalized its first showcase product in 2020 and aims to use the new funds at Biotech Campus Delft to diversify its portfolio. We're speaking today to Dan Launing, who's the co-founder and CTO of Meatable. He joins us with his thoughts on what it's like running an SME in the time of COVID. Dan, thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.
First up, let's find out from you, Dan, what drives your passion in developing cultivated meat?
Well, I started being part of the field very early on. Back in 2013, I was part of the team that made the very first laboratory-grown hamburger. I was part of the research team of Mark Post at Maastricht University, where we were working with muscle satellite cells to create the very first laboratory-grown hamburger. I've got a passion for my background as a cell molecular biologist. I saw the immense potential that the application of my knowledge could have for the way that we are consuming food. And I saw the amount of good that it could do, not only for the animals, but also for the environment and for the people in it. And that's why I decided to devote my time and started Meatable.
And how much have you seen this industry grow over the past 8 years? What are your thoughts about it?
Oh, it's quite amazing, actually. When I first started working in this field, my mother asked me if I had trouble finding a job because the field by itself was so unknown. It's true. It was so unknown at the time that as soon as I start explaining this to people, they looked at me very funny. But for some reason, what happened in the past 8 years is that there has been an immense swing in people's mindset when it comes to the contribution that animal agriculture and agriculture as a whole has on climate change. It has been calculated through several models that around 15% of all greenhouse gas emissions comes from agriculture, and especially from cows and pigs. They eat grass and they ferment this in their stomach, causes the creation of methane. Mm. And methane is an extreme potent greenhouse gas. And slowly, bit by bit, people became aware of this effect and became aware of the zoonoses that were happening, which of course are very relevant today. They saw the pandemics among animals happening, and they saw the use of antibiotics and resources that just goes into animal rearing, make them being aware of what they're putting in their mouth. And this has changed radically over the past years, that people are now demanding new alternatives. This is what you can see with the IPO of Beyond Meat. Of course, we are a very different product. We are actually creating meat. It's 100% real delicious meat that comes from animal cells. But you can see from that IPOs and from the alternatives that are now available that people are looking for differentiating their protein intake. And this is what I think Meatable can play into by providing real meat so that people don't have to make consensus in what they're eating and still are able to eat the product that they love, but don't have as big of an impact on the environment. And this is, I think, what is really the mission behind the company, creating the product that people love and enjoy to eat, but without making the planet any worse off it.
I was just going to ask how you thought of the popularity of the plant-based alternatives taking off, having an impact on what you're doing.
Oh, I think it's amazing. It's amazing that you can see. A good example is that 10 years ago, if you would go in the Netherlands to a restaurant and you would ask for the vegetarian option, you wouldn't be surprised if there was just a fried cardboard on your plate. It wasn't nice. There wasn't much options. It was actually terrible. There was not many options when you were going out for dinner. There were not many options in the supermarket where you have limited ingredients choices. But now suddenly there's this explosion of alternatives happening, which I think is great because you can make so much good dishes with it. You can make so much variety of dishes with it. And I think that is, as a food lover, is a thing that, of course, everybody would want to have. And now just instead of being able to choose between a vegetarian option or an animal-derived option, we think we can have a significant role in providing a third or maybe even a fourth option by having a product that is actual meat, but then without killing and slaughtering all the animals.
Let's talk about then the tech that you're using at Meatable. Why is it unique? You've got your first showcase prototype out in 2020, which is a sausage made entirely of cultivated pork, I understand.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And so maybe in light of what I've done before in academia, it makes sense to explain a little bit about that, why I think what we are doing is different and will have more potential to go for larger scale production and cost reduction. So if you are making cultivated meat, you can make use of a different types of cells in the animal, because all of them, an animal consists of a lot of cells, but you want to have cells that are able to grow on a large scale and are be able to turn into muscle and fat. And some cells are maybe not so easy to grow, but can be very easily turned into muscle or fat. So what we have done, we have taken a unique technology that was developed in Japan called pluripotent cell line development. These cells are basically the building blocks of life. They create the entire animal, and they have an immense potential for growth. We take these cells and we expand them as much as we can. And then at the right moment, we all turn them into muscle and fat cells. And this is a technology, the way that we do that is, it came from Cambridge University and one of our co-founders, Mark Cotter. He's a co-founder of Meatable and he's a developer of the technology. And bringing these two breakthrough technologies together position us in a very unique space in this field, which gives us the ability to do large-scale manufacturing for a reduction of cost so that people all over the world can eventually experience cultivated meat.
We're speaking with Dan Launing, who's the co-founder and CTO of Meatable. Dan, how did the pandemic, though, affect you folks at Meatable?
Well, we were very lucky in that sense, since we didn't have any drawbacks on the work that we were doing. We had enough space that we could expand the offices and expand the lab so that people can work at a safe distance, so that people could continue working and providing the safe environment with all the protective equipment. And I think a lot of our employees were very grateful so that they could leave the house and continue working on this important mission. Because what we have seen on the other side is that the food industry has taken a huge hit from COVID. I think slaughterhouses were severely hit. And at least from my understanding is that Singapore had also quite of a fright, since I understand that you're highly reliant on outside sources for food. And I think this is this technology can play a unique role in that, where with a very limited land mass and a very limited resources, you can still provide on a very small surface food for your inhabitants. And especially now that other people are maybe hoarding or their resources are constrained, I think it's really intriguing and very remarkable that Singapore is investing so much resource and so much knowledge and time to creating a more sustainable future for itself. Mm. So we can only applaud that. And I think COVID just laid bare some of that vulnerabilities, but not only for Singapore, for all over the world, where you can see that where it started with toilet paper and ended up in the slaughterhouses with a high rate of infection. I think it really showcased what we can do with this technology and how important it will be for food security.
How long before we can see this sort of replace harvesting meat from animals that you need to keep in this old-fashioned way? No pressure.
Oh, well, I do wish we could do it faster, since we do see that the necessity is now, but some of these things just takes time, since what we're using the resources right now for is starting the first work on the scaling of the work, what we have done so far, and make an environment where we're producing this that is completely compliant with food regulatory authorities so that we can go for tastings and even market entry around 2023 is what we're expecting. And from that point, we are thinking of making the first commercial plants somewhere in the world where we will be producing large-scale cultivated meat products at cost around 2025.
What's the outlook for the sector then? Also, are you seeing more people more accepting of this? Because for the layperson, things like GMO comes to mind and whether or not the food is safe.
Well, similar to becoming aware of the impact of animal agriculture on the planet, I've also seen a huge mind change in the perception of what is natural and how we are producing food around the world. And when I first started talking about this with people, they were skeptical and they had a lot of questions, but now they understand. Now they have seen the unsustainable way that we are rearing animals with even closer confinements and more antibiotics. And now they are actually, say, like you just said 5 minutes ago or a minute ago, when does it become available for me to try?
Yeah.
So that change we can see worldwide, where of course you always have a mosaic of people, people that say, that are vegetarian now and that will eat it, and meat eaters that will not eat it eventually. But that's fine. I think diversity in product intake is a good thing, and I think that's why we want to create that diversity, so that people have a choice, that they can say, "Oh, I will or won't eat this product." So I'm very optimistic, and I think, especially with questions like "When can we eat it?" becoming more apparent and more frequently asked, I see a positive outlook for the field.
But I imagine, sort of, the small scale farmers, so to speak, where this is their livelihood, may not be too happy.
I think when people, I get that question a lot, and I think what people should realize from that is a very startling number that I learned a couple of years ago, is that only in the Netherlands, and we are 17 million people, so 1/7, we eat 2.5 million kilograms of meat every day. Not every year, but every day.
Mm.
And that's only the Netherlands. So the product that we're talking about is so successful that people in such a small country eat so much of it. To think that suddenly small farmers won't have a job, I think that isn't reality. We will see a decline in the amount of animals that large factory farms will need to produce on a daily or yearly basis to provide population with food. But I think this is, of course, a future that we're aiming for. Less reliant on animals, more diversity. But I don't think farmers should fear for their jobs, because it doesn't make any sense if you look at the amount of meat that we're eating.
Dan Lounding is the co-founder and CTO of Meatable. Onward and upward, Dan. Thank you so much for your time, and stay safe, sir.
Thank you very much.
This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app, available on Google Play or the App Store.